Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Elemental Evan podcast. On this podcast, I break down health topics from a holistic and simplified perspective. That way you can walk away from all of these episodes with some tools in your belt and some know-how on how to change your health for the better and take control of your own health as well. On today's episode, we're going to be joined by a guest, and it's always a pleasure for me to have somebody on the show. It's truly just a learning opportunity for myself as well as for all of you. And today we're joined by Dr. Jeffrey Gross. He's the founder of Recelebrate, which is focusing on anti-aging and regenerative medicine. This Dr. Jeffrey Gross is incredibly knowledgeable on all things stem cells, and that's really what we dive into today. He's a trained neurological surgeon and specializes specifically in athletic injuries and spine procedures. And he's really focusing on longevity and just helping us to age slower and feel better as we continue to age. And personally, for me, I think stem cells are a really interesting practice and something that we're going to see a lot more of in the future. I think we're really just kind of on the edge of it at the moment. Like, we're about to really jump over into a new kind of whole field of science and healing for the body with the use of stem cells. So really excited to have him on today. And if you'd like to get in touch with him, of course, we're going to have all of his information in the description or the show notes of the show today. So feel free to check that out and get in touch with him, see what he's all about. Down there, we're also going to have, of course, all of our awesome sponsors and partners of the show. And go ahead and please check out some of the links there, because we have some really incredible stuff. One of my favorites, of course, is always going to be the Energy Bits, spirulina and chlorella. One of my favorite things to take every single day. If you haven't already listened to this show many times, then this is probably your first time hearing about it. But the spirulina and chlorella over at Energy Bits is truly the best of the best. It's my favorite spirulina and chlorella products out there. Super high quality. And for me personally, I feel the difference when I take them. And it's also just a great way to make sure you're covering your bases on getting in those vitamins and minerals every single day. And of course, the high levels of chlorophyll never hurt. They are always super good. I've actually been eating a very high amount of seafood lately, the last couple of weeks. And therefore, I have also increased my spirulina and specifically my chlorella intake because of the high levels of chlorophyll, and because they're able to, chlorophyll is able to help get heavy metals out of your blood, which obviously if you're eating seafood, that's going to be a good idea to do that. So go ahead and check that out as well. Of course, you're going to get that 20% off for being a listener to the show. And yeah, without further ado, let's get into today's episode with Dr. Jeff. He's a really awesome guy, and I was super happy to have him on the show. I know you all are going to have a ton to take away from today's episode, so I hope you all enjoy. And without any further ado, let's get to it. Peace. All righty, everyone. Welcome to the Elemental Evan podcast. Today, we are joined with the one and only Dr. Jeff. He is a very awesome and patient person while I work here with my technical difficulties. So you're already a great person in my books, but welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. And thanks for having me on. This is great.
Yeah. So I know we already covered this question and it got erased, but I wanted to start with the very base here, which is simply, you know, what are stem cells and what are their functions in the body?
Basically, stem cells are the very cells that made us in the first place. When we are an embryo inside of our mothers, the cells that are creating us and developing our organs and our limbs and everything are very powerful stem cells. And then later when we're born and even become an adult, stop growing, you know, we maintain sort of useful but not fully powerful stem cells. We don't have the stem cells in their current form that can make a new person, but they can help renew a lot of our cells that get used up or, you know, aged. The most common examples of cells that renew are like skin cells. They, you know, they renew all the time. We make new, you know, cells that make hair and make nails. Even our liver and other organ, those cells can renew themselves. Stem cells are also harbored in our body to help us fight inflammation, help our immune system, help us heal if a cut or something. They bring in all the healing factors and other cells to help us repair. So they are about restoration, regeneration, and repair.
Gotcha. And so as we get older, we obviously produce less stem cells as time goes on, correct?
Well, we probably have, you know, a diminishing supply of them, but like all our cells that are exposed to the modern world, things in our water, in our food, in our air, electromagnetic fields, all kinds of things, all of our cells get, you know, kind of gunked up. They get inflamed. They have changes within them. Some of them are so bad they become what are called senescent or zombie cells. So that can happen to our stem cells too. And when our stem cells basically become less efficient at doing what they're supposed to do. And that's why regenerative medicine is now a thing. And we could use that knowledge to help our older cells and our older bodies act and repair like a younger person.
Gotcha. You mentioned regenerative repair. What exactly is that?
So the whole idea of regeneration is to replace a cell that's no good, no longer useful, senescent, what stem cells do. They are regenerative in their nature. Other things are regenerative, like growth factors. Growth factors you might find in what's called PRP or platelet-rich plasma. There are regenerative phytonutrients in plants and in fruits, and in, you know, even protein has some regenerative capabilities. There are even some medications and even some lifestyle epigenetic activities, you know, things like proper exercise, using your muscles, stretching, yoga, breathing techniques, meditation. These are called lifestyle or epigenetic factors, and they do stimulate stem cell activity because they are regenerative in their own nature.
Wow, okay, that's super interesting. So there are certain practices that we can be doing right now, essentially the things that keep us the most healthy already that we know, you know, things like exercise and breath, like you were right. mentioning. And so by doing those practices, they are essentially inducing the action of our stem cells, correct?
Right. In fact, there are some great studies. You can Google, you know, yoga and stem cells. And there are actually studies showing increase in circulating stem cells and activity in people with a regular yoga practice.
Wow. So that's why all the yogis look so young, huh?
Right.
Very cool. And so in terms of stem cells, well, actually, I think, would you walk us through basically the practice of using stem cells for therapy would look like? Is it, you know, do we pull these from our own body, from someone else? Do we get them from, you know, I believe, is it what, from the spinal or from the spine or even from fat cells, if I'm not mistaken? How does that all work?
Yeah, let's do a little stem cell 101 because you're right. There's a lot of misinformation, disinformation, and let's set the record straight. So, you know, stem cells, we've been unknowingly tapping into this for a long time. And, you know, I most of my medical practice for many years was as a spine surgeon. So we would always use some bone marrow when doing a bone fusion, for example, because we want those rich healing immune cells. So what we were really doing, though, is tapping into stem cell activity. Stem cells for therapeutic purposes can be harvested from your own body. They can be taken from fat, although that's not always the best. They are useful. Because too much fat, like an obese person, can be giving off a pro-inflammatory signal that we don't want. Bone marrow is probably the most robust source of our healthy stem cell population. And if you think about it, the more stem cells you have, the healthier you are, the fewer diseases you have, and the longer you will live. And to correlate with that, as you lose bone density, bone mass, you're losing your bone marrow and your stem cells. So many people know that a lack of bone density is correlated with a lack of longevity and vice versa. So what you're really doing, you support your bones by using your muscles and you support your bone marrow, you're supporting your stem cells, you'll live longer. Stem cells can also be harvested from donors. And those donors are usually mothers who just gave birth to a baby by C-section. And instead of throwing away the placenta, the umbilical cord, the amniotic fluid, it can be donated and tested and screened by reputable suppliers and labs. and used for regenerative purposes. And when you compare, you know, my 58-year-old stem cells to fresh out of the womb, unadulterated stem cells that have not been exposed to the world's pro-inflammatory oxidative problems, I like the younger stuff.
Yeah. Now, but does getting stem cells from someone else, are they less effective as opposed to using your own stem cells that might be, I don't know, like more accustomed to your body? Like, does that play a role at all?
No, you know, stem cells and stem cell related signaling particles called exosomes, which are part of the family of regenerative biologics, are not known to have any meaningful immune response. So they're not likely to be rejected. They don't harbor the molecules on the cell surface to make them look like an individual. The kind of things you would look for if you're looking for a bone donor matched, you know, for a recipient. It's not like that. They're very neutral, that we call immunoprivileged. They get to enter the body without causing any stir.
Gotcha. Okay. Now I have a kind of a weird question here, but you know, I know it's a kind of a becoming a more common practice in at least like the Western world where after giving birth, some mothers will encapsulate their placenta and consume it. Now, are there benefits with stem cells through consuming it that way, or does it have to go through a different process?
So there are benefits from consuming the placenta. These are well-known health benefits in many cultures. The West is a little late to the game, but you know, in other cultures, they just eat it. They just cook it up and eat it, right? So the placenta is rich in stem cell and stem cell-derived signaling factors called exosomes, as I mentioned. And those exosomes do a lot of the work of encouraging our cells to behave in a more anti-inflammatory way. And anti-inflammatory usually works against disease. So that's good. We want that. And anti-inflammatory is anti-aging. So we see this also in other examples. For example, bone broth. Because it's from bone marrow or bones, it's rich in exosomes and stem cell derived exosomes, cell signaling from exosomes to encourage our own cells to behave better. We see this if you go to a fancy restaurant, they might serve bone marrow. And what does your mother and your grandmother make you when you're sick? They make you chicken soup from the chicken stock, which is from the exosomes and the stem cells in the chicken bones. So this is not new. Plants also make exosomes. I know on your show before you've spoken about chlorophyll and other things. I mean, these are plant-derived exosomes stimulate our stem cells as well.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, because I feel like I only typically hear of the correlation between stem cells and I would say, I guess, like animal products or even, I guess, human, we're animals really as well. But I mean, yeah, I've never heard of that with plants as well. So that's super interesting.
Yeah, it's very big now. A lot of, you know, these you'll call, you know, fruits and vegetable powder supplements have been around for a long time, getting better and better all the time. They are rich in exosomes from plant cells. Those exosomes carry a similar cargo. Their cargo is usually growth factors and small, well-preserved proteins like heat shock protein. And I don't know if you've had anyone on your show before who's spoken about the health and longevity benefits of sauna use. It's because you get in this hot, temperature and your cells release these proteins called heat shock proteins. They tend to be survival proteins and they fight inflammation. They support longevity. And it turns out those same proteins are found in these plant-derived and stem cell-derived exosomes from the plants in the first group and from humans and other animals in the second group. That's how much the similarities are between plants and animals down when you get to the very primitive growth factors.
Wow, that's wild. Yeah, it's, actually I've spoken about sauna before on the show, but I haven't really had someone speak too much towards like heat shock proteins, like you just mentioned, and the real health benefits. I just know that the power of a sauna is like even just using it once a week for not even a super long period of time can have some massive health benefits. Yeah, I haven't really gone too deep on that one. Do you have a sauna that you use personally?
I'm just in the process of shopping for a new one, but I've been reading more about it and I'm doing a deep dive on different forms of hormesis. Like, you know, we want to build a little resilience in your body and make it survive better with exercise, sauna, cold plunge, fasting. Those are the big ones.
Gotcha. Okay. So coming back to with stem cells being used on different parts of the body, what do you typically use stem cells for? I know you mentioned like anti-aging properties. You also, I believe you've mentioned before that, you know, can help with things like even, was it sciatica pain and as well, or like back pain and just injuries overall? Is that typically what you would use stem cells for?
Well, I would say we use them for a few different general groups of things. The low-hanging fruit in my practice is joint degeneration, things that a doctor may call arthritis or osteoarthritis or bone-on-bone or chondromalacia, which means wearing down of the cartilage surfaces. Most of our patients come in with joint pain, inflammation, and they're trying to avoid a joint replacement surgery. So we follow protocols that have been around for 20 years in Europe. We're just late to the party. And we do specialized MRIs. We target the areas that need the love most. And the areas where we get the benefit is actually in the bone marrow, and what's called the subchondral bone, just adjacent to the joint. So we're not injecting the joint, the cartilage, because the cartilage is like hair. It's made from the bone. Just like our scalp follicles make hair, the bone makes the cartilage, the bone, the chondrocyte cells in the bone. So we re-stimulate the stem cells and the chondrocytes and your own cells in the bone by injecting the signaling factors that we call exosomes. We could do stem cells too, but exosomes I find are easier to handle. We can get a more concentrated dose. They travel further in the tissue and last longer, and they're about half the price.
Sorry, and the difference between stem cells and exosomes, what is it exactly? And then also, do you derive them from the exact same place? Like, do you pull them both from marrow?
Yeah. So I'm only now using donated perinatal products from someone who just had a baby. And the exosomes are the small, not that cells aren't small, but even smaller signaling factors, a little bit of a membrane with these heat shock proteins, growth factors, microRNAs, that the stem cell makes. And if I were to give you a stem cell injection somewhere, those stem cells are making and delivering exosomes to you. Mostly the stem cell is delivery factor. The exosomes are doing the work. So we're cutting out the middleman. Mm-hmm. So even though the whole buzzword here is stem cell medicine, it's really the exosomes that are doing the work. We're just skipping right to the medicine part. So we inject the exosomes from the perinatal source. We don't have to harvest anything. And we have been demonstrating in many patients improvement in pain, improvement in function, no longer needing a surgery. And we have some people we've done MRIs before and after, separated by 8-9 months or longer. We've seen an increase in the thickness of the cartilage in the knee, for example, after these injections. So we know we're stimulating those bone cells to make those cartilage proteins. The cartilage itself in the joint injection doesn't do as much because the cartilage is really biological rubber. It's not a lot of cells in there. There are some, but not a lot.
Wow. Okay. I had no idea. So exosomes is the thing we want to really focus on here and utilize. I know I've had a family friend. I think he had something wrong with his rotator cuff and was using some stem cell therapy and he's received a lot of benefit from it. So definitely seems to be something to this for sure. And super fascinating about cartilage. I actually did not know that. And that's a great a way to think of it as like hair growing out of, you know, your head, basically. Like that's super fascinating.
Yeah, the activity is in the bone. And that's why people with inflammatory and metabolic problems have osteoarthritis problems at a more accelerated rate. Because the status of their body's cell activity is affecting the cells in their bone. And that's why they have more problems with like knee pain and joint pain and things like that.
Yeah. And I wonder too if specifically doing like resistance training would be most beneficial for, you know, stem cell production or activity in the body due to kind of like the stress that's being put on the bone and really causing it to, you know, adapt to the stress that's being placed on it and hopefully helping to, you know, stay away from things like osteoporosis. But I wonder if that's kind of like, do you know if that's one of the best methods in terms of trying to increase that?
It's some type of weight-bearing resistance exercise is probably the single easiest and best thing you can do for longevity because it's stimulating maintenance of the bone marrow and thereby maintenance of the stem cell population.
Wow. That's absolutely fascinating. So, okay. And now in terms of, do we see like stem cells being used for even possibly like, I don't know, like advanced diseases, down the road, like even, you know, I don't know, but any kind of disease, like whether we're talking like from dementia to cancer to any, you know, liver failure, do we see it being used for those?
Yeah. So let me cover that, but it's fair to say that, you know, I want all your listeners to know that, you know, what everything I'm saying here is with the knowledge that the FDA has not yet approved for marketing claims, anything involving stem cells or biologics for treatment or cure. So what I'm telling you here are things that we know from the scientific literature, things we've seen in our office, you know, observations, but we're not allowed to make any claims. Not like doctors make guarantees anyway, we really can't, but I want to be clear about that. But having said that, yes, I've used IV exosomes for stem cell-derived exosomes for people with failing kidneys and kept them from dialysis. Don't know that I can do it for everyone, but we've done it. I've helped people recovering from heart attack and stroke. The earlier we get to them, the better. Same with brain injury. I don't have a big experience in liver failure, but again, the organs in the body do receive a lot of blood flow. They do get the exosomes delivered to them when we give them. So it's possible. We have people we've done the breathing treatment with exosomes for, who have had like long COVID syndromes and different type of fibrotic or inflammatory lung problems. As long as there is an inflammatory component, the exosomes are known to suppress cellular inflammation activity generally. So people with autoimmune problems, you know, irritable bowel syndromes, and even some weird infections like the long COVID or Lyme's disease have some benefit in the inflammatory sense.
Oh, that's so wild. Yeah, that's... When you mentioned irritable bowel syndrome, that's me for sure. I've gotten so much better as time has gone on, but still, you know, like still navigating my way through trying to just get my gut totally where I want it. But I will say one of the big things has definitely been fasting and bone broth. That's been a huge combo that I really use. And does fasting have any benefits as well for stem cells?
Yeah, it's one of the big hormetic activities that fasting, exercise, heat, and cold. Those are probably the four big ones, you know, that build that resilience and stimulate the release of survival proteins in the body. That those proteins stimulate the, you know, reset of the immune system. They stimulate the bone marrow production of stem cells and stem cell, you know, proliferation and they stimulate, you know, hormone release and things like that. So yeah, that's big.
Awesome. Yeah, no, happy to hear that. I mean, I feel like there can be a limit with fasting, you know, and it needs to be done properly, but it's always nice to just have some reassurance that, you know, you're doing some good stuff with the fasting, but I've noticed a massive benefit with my gut health every time I've done a fast, especially the longer fast, like going 2 or 3 days typically with fasting, and then especially following it up with the first meal of bone broth. It just seems to, for like a week, my digestion is just top tier. It's been really massive for me. So I've been trying to work on things like that, but it's interesting to hear that, you know, possibly using stem cells for like even gut health can be really beneficial. Makes a lot of sense too.
Yeah, they really do suppress body inflammation. we see this, we do some inflammatory markers and biological age tests, you know, before a treatment and then maybe a month or two after treatment. And we can see beneficial differences in the whole body inflammation. And we know that particularly with an immune problem, suppressing inflammation goes a long way.
Wow. And what do you guys use to track the biological age?
So there are a couple of different ways to do it, different tests on the market. One of my favorite ones is called glycan age, which measures how many sugar molecules get appended to your antibodies in your body. And we know with regular aging that happens, and we know the patterns and the profiles because there's specificity to it. And you can reverse that by changing lifestyle, by changing what you take or receive, or you know how you do things. So it's a way to measure biological age. Most of the tests on the market measure intracellular things, or even because antibodies are outside the cell. But inside the cell, you've got telomeres at the end of your DNA and how long they are. You've got different changes to the DNA. It becomes glycosylated over time, things like that. So those are some of the intracellular markers, and those are good tests too.
Okay, gotcha. And then you had mentioned multiple times already on the podcast, but what would be some of the big movers for just naturally taking care of your stem cells? Like, what are some of the things that you do or would recommend for people in terms of, I know we mentioned like yoga or resistance training and fasting and all that, but what would be some of your really big movers you would focus on personally?
Yeah, I mean, I would make sure there's exercise as part of your lifestyle that includes resistance or weight bearing. I would include a real effort to sleep restoratively by the right amount of time, not too little, not too much, but cold room, dark room, no screens for an hour before, mindfulness, meditation, whatever it takes to really get some deep sleep. Most of us, I'm a big proponent of melatonin at bedtime. Even if you go to sleep fine, you're not using it for that. You're using it to stimulate the cell repair process during the dark cycle, which is night. So it's like the opposite of cortisol, and you need that hormone because we really stop making it after puberty. Besides that, I think proper diet, enough protein, clean diet, stay away from the vegetable oils. I am a carnivore, but I know there are a lot of people who are not. So those who are not really need to work on getting quality protein and all the missing and branch chains, essential amino acids. I'm a big, big fan of omega-3. I think the vast majority of Americans are underdosing themselves on fish oil or omega-3 supplements. If you look at the blue zones, they have high omega-3 indexes, meaning they're getting a lot more seafood and omega-3s in their diet normally. And we need to work hard to do that. And there's really good literature to support that. Other nutritional gaps, I'm a big fan of vitamin D3 supplementation. The sun does not make vitamin D3. It converts some vitamin D2 to vitamin D3, but you don't know how much vitamin D2 you have. So you can't just go out in the sun too much. You'll hurt your skin too. You really need to take a significant amount of vitamin D3. So 5,000 and even 10,000 international units a day, which a multivitamin, a one a day might have 500 or 1,000. It's not enough. And we know that vitamin D3 reduces all cause mortality. And it really, if it's reducing all the things that kill you, you'll live longer. It's a longevity, an anti-inflammatory supplement. And there are many others. We could talk supplements for hours. So diet, supplement, sleep, exercise. And then, you want to get fancy. We talk about regenerative medicine. If you can, we can do IV exosomes. You can do stem cells. You don't have to leave the country to do it. The outfits outside the country can advertise because they don't have the FDA to deal with. So you hear all kinds of claims, but do your homework before you do that. And there are even some, I'm not a big pharmaceutical guy. I don't love that, but there are some medications that are naturally found that are known to be longevity medications like rapamycin. People use now metformin or semaglutide, particularly if your weight is high, to reduce sugar exposure. If you have insulin sensitivity problems, that might be something for you. There are even people using Cialis, Viagra, and there are some of the statins, even though statins can cause problems, some of them have now been found to be associated with longevity. So look it up, longevity meds, and you'll be surprised what you see.
Oh, that's awesome. And no, and thank you for mentioning that. I really appreciate, you know, you taking a kind of a holistic approach to really looking at every aspect of life and recognizing that, like, you know, if you have the time and you're able, and which we all should be doing, like, let's try these methods. But, you know, when it gets to a point where you're bone on bone, or, you know, really you need the extra help, you know, come in and like you said, do the research, find a good practitioner like yourself, and come get checked out. And now, you had mentioned you were what was your profession prior to this? Had you mentioned?
Yeah, well, I still am a neurosurgeon with spine fellowship. So I treated neck and back pain the vast majority of my career. And wow. I went into regenerative medicine just because a lot of my patients were like, "Hey, doc, we're trying not to have surgery." I'm like, "Yeah, I get it. I don't want you to have it either." But nothing else worked. How about stem cells, doc? You know, and you hear it enough times, you're like, "Okay, I'll start getting trained there. There's got to be something there." So I started going back and getting re-educated about 5-6 years ago. This just blossomed, and I'm doing so much of regenerative medicine now compared to my old stuff.
Wow. And so do you see, like, typical surgeries that you would have had to have performed or you know, still do perform, but that you can now treat with just your with using these exosomes and stuff?
Well, we are trying these things to help people heal and avoid surgery. That's what we're doing. And we want to maintain our compliance with the FDA by saying it that way. We're seeing some benefits in many cases, and I'm happy to offer it as an additional tool to delay or put off surgery.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. And I really, I appreciate you mentioning that too. Cause yeah, it's, usually I hear of stem cell work being done like abroad pretty much. And so thank you for mentioning that. Like we have great practitioners here, and as well, like you said, you can't make these claims because of the FDA and, you know, with reason, right? But no, thank you for mentioning that. And also on that note, where are you based out of?
So my main practice here is in the suburb of Las Vegas, Nevada, called Henderson, and near the airport.
Very nice. Nice. Yeah. And so like, typically, so if someone wanted to like get in touch with you, what would be some of the major things that you would feel comfortable working with? Like you mentioned cartilage and bone on bone. Is that typically the main one that you work with?
That's the most frequent. I'm not saying, hey, you know, that's what the only thing we'll do. We like to hear new problems and see if we can find a solution or something to try, you know? You know, there are new, you know, I didn't get to say this earlier. You mentioned cancer. You know, currently we're not using stem cells for cancer, but there are some newly identified types of exosomes that come from certain T cells in the immune system that are known to kill cancer. We're looking at that very closely. I'm not saying we can do it yet, but I'm looking to incorporate that at some point. We're looking for these sort of more specialized cell-derived exosomes from different types of stem cells, not just regular what we call MSCs or mesenchymal stromal cells. Those are more for general organ purposes or cartilage help, you know, joint help or inflammation and across the board. But I like to see all kinds of patients. I like problems that no one else can figure out. Let's take a deep dive. We see a lot of patients all over the country and outside the country by Zoom, and we you know, help them order whatever tests are needed. And only the patients we think we can help do we invite to come see us here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I know. That's thank you for going back and speaking about because that's a major point and a major topic to cover. I know you also had mentioned earlier zombie cells. Would you mind going a little deeper on those for the listeners?
Sure. You know, we have these cells in our body and just like with our population of people, you know, our very older patients have trouble with functioning. They have dementia, you know, their heart function doesn't work. They have trouble getting around. They're sort of the zombie cells. They can't contribute, you know, like they'd want to, or we want them to. So we have cells like that. that are in our body just kind of taking up space, using resources, using nutrients, but not giving back. And those are called zombie cells. And the more zombie cells you have, the more diseases, the more problems, the more aged that person is. So there's a lot of work in the biochemical sciences, the molecular biology sciences, to target those cells and rid ourselves of them. There's a process of ridding ourselves of cells called apoptosis. And we want to get rid of those cells. Things like the hot sauna, the other hormesis type things, help us remove those zombie cells, recycle their parts, and renew, get that stem cell activity going. We can also have zombie cells in our stem cell population where they're not working as well either. So if you're a smoker and you drink too much and you've never exercised and you're obese and all kinds of problems, you have a lot of zombie cells.
Gotcha. And so I know with mitochondria, it's, if I'm not mistaken, the younger the mitochondria are, the more you have, obviously, like the better and more efficient they can be. And as you, you know, get stuck in your ways, if you eat just like a really poor diet, they can get very inefficient at, you know, burning multiple forms of energy, and they kind of get just stuck in their way. Does the same thing kind of happen with stem cells? Do they become inefficient as well, essentially? Is that basically the same thing that's happening there?
Yeah, they're just like any cell in that way. They're affected by what they're exposed to, their activity, and what have you. And you're right, though. Mitochondria, the number of mitochondria in our cells and in our muscle cells particularly, they're more than just a powerhouse of the cell. They help drive, you know, whether or not that cell is going to be a zombie or divide or where we are with cells. There's also a set of exosomes being looked at that are rich in mitochondria that can donate mitochondria. It's called mitochondrial transfer therapy. And it's being looked at first for people who have actually mitochondrial diseases, but we're going to find that it has use in the biohacking world, you know, to enhance your maintenance of your muscle mass. And if you can maintain your muscle mass, then you're maintaining your bones better, you maintain your stem cell, you'll live longer. So that kind of thing.
Wow. that's fascinating. That is super cool. Oh my God.
It's all out there. It's happening.
Man, okay. Yeah. So and is that one of the things that you're kind of looking into currently? Because I know you said you like to look into the things that people are not, you know, able to figure out. You like the hard challenge. Is that one of them?
Yep. So we're reaching forward. We're working with scientists to be one of the places where you might be able to have access to these early things. The cancer killing ones and the mitochondrial rich ones aren't yet available. But you think about it, it might be a treatment for obesity. Inject these mitochondrial laden exosomes into fat. It converts white fat to brown fat, and brown fat's the stuff that goes away when you exercise. So we've got all kinds of great ideas we're working on here, and in conjunction with good science. We're not just shooting in the dark.
Man, that's exciting. I like that. Okay. We need to talk about the stuff that's coming up, and I want to be in touch with you on these because, sure. It's very exciting stuff. And now I know we're having a little bit of a shorter episode today, just cause we had the technical difficulty. So I'm going to probably want to bring you back on, in the near future, if you're okay with that, Dr. Jeff. And,
I would love it anytime.
Yeah. But before we do go, I want to give you an opportunity to kind of let people know how they can get in touch with you, kind of what that process would look like. Of course, I will share any links that you would like in the description with our listeners. But please let people know how to connect with you, how to find you, and reach out to you. Because, I feel like everyone has the potential to gain some benefit from that.
Thanks so much. Well, our business name is called Recelebrate because you're celebrating the renewal of your cells. So it's RECELLEBRATE. So we're on the internet, we're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, where you just type in Recelebrate, you'll find us, message us through whatever, and go to our website and fill out a little reach out form, and we'll get back to you.
Amazing. Well, you might be hearing from me one of these days. My dad might be one of your future patients. I'm not going to lie. He's done air conditioning for probably almost 40 years now, I would say. He's I think he's turning 69 this year. So yeah, he's getting up there. And that kind of work takes a toll on the body for sure. So you might be hearing from me sooner rather than later.
We'd be happy to see him, of course.
Amazing. Well, Dr. Jeff, thank you so much. I truly, truly appreciate you and all of the work that you're doing as well, and pushing the needle in this category is what it sounds like, which I really appreciate that. You're a trailblazer and helping many. So I appreciate that big time.
Thanks for having me on, Evan. It's awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for joining us. You're probably very likely going to have Dr. Jeff on another episode. So don't worry, we'll hear more from him. And thank you all very much for tuning in. Hope you all have a great one, and peace.
This podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. Evan Roberts is not a medical professional, and this podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. Statements and views expressed on this show are not medical advice. This podcast, including Evan Roberts and any guests on the show, disclaims responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained in this episode. If you think you have a medical problem, please consult a medical professional.